you will know the truth, and the truth will set you free.
Do you believe in life after addiction? You better believe it. Now, the host of Life After Addiction.
That's right. Welcome back, Life After Addiction. All right, guys. So you have been back in the swing of things on the second half of season two here. That's Bruce Stanley.
Yes, sir.
I'm Adam Comer. And man, today we're going to talk about something that might be a little controversial. Surprise, surprise. But to really fire things back up in this season. You hear a lot of things, Bruce. You hear a lot of, I don't know, methodologies, philosophies, media, news, and a lot of things tell you how to think, even how to believe. And I just want to encourage our listeners, specifically maybe our alumni, stay the course on what the Word of God says. Don't be so fickle and buy into the next popular thing of how you are, self-help, or how you're supposed to do this recovery. The Word of God is never changing, and addiction is not a surprise to God. And in fact, Bruce, a lot of the things that we hear and where we've gotten to as a culture here in America, or maybe even as a world, but where we've come to, the things have gone to a place of absurdity. It's absurd, some of the things that we're hearing and how we're supposed to walk and talk and just be. It's absurd.
Yeah. Yeah, it's to the level of ridiculousness.
Yeah.
Some of the things that, and we're going to try not to be political about this, but we said from the beginning of this podcast entry that we're going to offend some people, the things we're going to say on the show. But we're never going to deviate from the truth. And it's always with the agenda of helping people live life after their addiction. And a lot of that is what God calls all of us to do as Christians, is to remain discerning, lean, you know, on each other and for the Word of God to help direct our paths, you know. And in fact, Proverbs 3, verse 5 through 6 says, "Trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean not unto your own understanding, but in all thy ways acknowledge him and he shall direct your paths." And so we're always going to be up against stuff that, I mean, that's the work of Satan, right? Is to confuse, to distract, to divide, you know, and so he's busy always in the scheme of the world stage, you know, implementing things that sound like the truth, maybe even sound good. But we're going to talk today about stuff that is absolutely doesn't sound good, doesn't even, and who believes this stuff and why, you know?
Yeah, so our mission, the Life After Addiction podcast, you could read it. It just says we're going to talk about life, addiction, and some hard current affair issues, all from a biblical worldview, and we're going to tackle hard stuff. And so the first absurd thing, and man, this, oh mercy, let's talk about recovery. And the modalities, the methodologies out there. Again, addiction is not a surprise to God. And if we are going to address it biblically, then we have to be able to tell the truth and speak about what addiction really is. And we've covered it. It's idolatry. You're exchanging the glory of God and his promises for cheap substitutes for bootleg things. And that's idolatry. And you'll always get pain. You'll always get what you've always gotten from the lie, from the cheap substitute of the pleasure, of the numbing, of the cover-up, of the fulfillment of what you need, of a past, or whatever it could be. When you go to bootlegs, you'll get pain always, and you'll have that cheap lie of a moment of relief, and it always ends badly. Now, the problem, the absurd thing is if you go, I'll say me, I was taught that I was a victim, that this was a disease, that I'm always going to be this. And you know what? You can have hope just for today. You can have hope just for today, but you know what? You could be in remission, but man, one thing, and it's, you have to start all over, and that you're full-blown addiction, and that you're always this addict. And that creates a victim-like mentality. When the Word of God says, Bruce, what we teach from the Word of God, what we know that's true from the Word, a promise from the Word of God, is that we as believers are more than conquerors. that doesn't sound like a victim, right? Yeah. That sounds like there's even the curriculum that we teach discusses escaping the corruption of a world of the world, addiction, idols, all of these things that are brought on by evil or sinful desires, right? Yeah. And that you can escape that. That's not a slave. That's not a victim. That's an absurd view that's being taught. And you can see the decades, man. How's it working out for us? The decades of you're a victim, you're a victim, you're a victim, you're a victim.
Yeah, I mean, especially here in America and the culture that is progressing to, I mean, we see it in California right now with homelessness. We see it in these other states who've legalized drug use, and it's not anybody's fault. You know, we should pamper these people. We should provide spaces for them. We should raise money to help them, but not to get them out of, you know, this stuff. But it's their choice, and they're a victim, and you can't blame them. And man, we see this in the court of law. Everything nowadays is a mental illness when it comes to, you know, murder, thieving, you know. It's not their fault. You know, there's something wrong with them, and we have to treat them. And so, and God warned us about this stuff. He says, don't believe in it. These things are going to happen, but don't lose heart. You know, that there is truth that we can abide in, and we can stand firm and endure through these things. But we're asked to wear a face. In fact, Jesus says, look, I'm sending you out as sheep among wolves.
Yeah.
That means that we have to have discernment. We have to pay attention. We have to decide for ourselves based on the word of God, not our own understanding, right?
Yeah.
I just read that verse of how we align things to what God says and make the right choice.
Yeah. And I'll just tell you, and we did an episode called Passivity. It's in season 2, maybe 14 or 15 or episode 13. And what that leads to when Christians are passive, unbiblically passive, not saying that you're mean, you can go listen to that. What rolls out into is that absolute truth no longer is the standard. And when that begins to fail, you know what that creates, Bruce? When absolute truth is no longer – the absolute truth we say is the word of God. If there is no longer an absolute truth, then it's moral relativity. And you know what moral relativity has caused in today's America? It's caused people to become irate, even though moral – it sounds like the opposite. Like, my truth, bro. You believe in what you believe, bro. What it's become is, if you don't believe the way I do – mm-hmm. You're a bigot.
Yeah. I mean, the absurdity of tolerance is the act of intolerance.
Yeah.
It cancels each other out. It makes no sense that I can sit here and say, well, I'm tolerant of all these things except for this, this, and that. Well, then you've negated your definition of tolerance.
Yeah. Even now, the things that in the first 8 minutes of this podcast that we've discussed about recovery and what we know to be true, we'll get emails talking about, oh, you can't say that, man. You know, I've whatever these methodologies have saved my life. Okay. That's great, man. God could strike a straight blow with a crooked stick. And I'm glad that you found God at whatever meeting you went to, or I'm glad that you've been sober and you're an addict and just for today, and you have hope just for today. But I'll tell you, and you and I both know, because I've been where you've been, man, you're living a life of white knuckling and dry drunkenness, and you're not doing what you're not doing because you're afraid of a consequence. That's not freedom.
Yeah. I mean, we just did an episode on contentment. You know, there are plenty of things in this life we can pursue, but to pursue things that are only going to get us halfway there. And if you found Christ in a 12-step meeting or whatever, then great. But are you doing the things Christ asks you to do? Or are you doing it the way the program that you're in is doing and trying to add Christ to it in some way? You know, it's look, listen to this verse. Jesus says, look, you're either with me or you're against me. And if you're against me, you're scattering.
Yeah.
And if you're with me, you're gathering. So it gives this picture of a togetherness, inclusion and all things that are God, or if you're like just doing it partly, then you're actually in the business of scattering. You're creating division. You're creating chaos. You may not think that you are, but that's what you're doing. And you're even doing it to your own self, which is really the thing that matters most, is that you're indecisive. You can't be a full 100% on into one belief. You're mixing things together and thinking that that's going to work. And Jesus tells us, look, there's no gray area in this. It's black and white. You're either with me or against me.
Yeah. And for me to say something is absurd, that is absurd, doesn't make me a bigot. It makes me a someone who's aware and acknowledging, hey, you can't, hey, let me give you an example, man. And this is kind of somewhat comical, but we're not trying to be comical. Just this week, and at a local news station here in Nashville, News Channel 4 ran an article about something that Always did. That's a Procter & Gamble company brand called Always. It's for female sanitary products. And this is a, you know, we have a certain rating on this product. It's for pads for females. Don't have to go any further there. That's what Always brand is. And here's what they've done. Here's what has happened because of the pressure of this. If you don't believe who I am and my truth, right? Remember we say it's your truth. That's not what it is. If you don't believe my truth, then you're a bigot. This is what has happened in our culture. Always. Here's the headline. Always takes female symbol off of its packaging to be inclusive of transgender and non-binary customers. Huh? We're talking about pads for women. And here's what it is. Transgender activists and allies had publicly urged Procter & Gamble to redesign its pad wrapper without the gender symbol, a circle atop a cross. Among their arguments were that not all people who menstruate are women and not all women menstruate. And this symbol obviously is the Venus symbol historically used to represent the female sex. So we're removing this female product for females. Is now being urged, so much pressure that they did it, to remove the female symbol for a female product.
Yeah, and this is all based on fear. You know, look, I used to be in advertising. I went to college for it. I was in the business of marketing and persuading people to buy products. And one thing you do is you look at your target audience, right? Absolutely, without a doubt, 99% of that product's audience are women.
Biological women.
It makes no logical sense to change the way you would market your product for 1% or less of your target audience. It's absurd, right?
It's absurd.
So the reason they're doing it is because they don't want to be labeled, which we're seeing it all over the place. Like, they're ruining companies, ruining people who stand in the face of these, you know, people who demand tolerance, right? But they're intolerant, to say, look, if you don't agree with this, then we're going to ruin your company. And we're going to publicly display you as a bigot and that you're not fair-minded and that you don't believe in all people.
And what's the heart there? Why did it say that activists were urging Procter & Gamble to remove the symbol? Why is that? Because you're hurting the feelings of someone, someone that identifies as I just don't understand it. It's become to a level of absurdity, and I want to encourage our listeners, our alumni. The Bible says this. The Bible says this in John, John chapter, I want to say 15. It says, "If the world hates you, know that it has hated me before it hated you. If you were of the world would love you as its own. But because you're not of the world, but I chose you out of the world, therefore the world hates you." So if you are so adamant to walk in this absurdity and take, like Procter and Gamble's Always product, to please the world, the Bible says that you are of the world. And I want to encourage you guys, you don't have to do that. Is it going to be hard? Yeah, the world's going to hate you. But man, this is the seasons that we're called to be. God's called you to come out from among them and be separate.
Yeah.
And the promises of God are true. The freedom in Christ is true. And people are going to hate you is also
true.
Yeah,
I mean, it just said, go back and listen to the contentment episode. You know, our contentment doesn't come from what other people think of us, right?
Yeah.
can these groups, can these organizations, you know, smear an organization or a person's name to the point where people are offended by them and no longer buy products from them? Listen, I guarantee you, Procter & Gamble is more concerned about their overarching business image than they are about this product that they sell. This is just one product of many that they sell, because every single person with any logical sense in their mind knows a man does not menstruate. It's biologically impossible. Okay? I won't say anything more than that. So this is all based off of a fear about image and acceptance and what's going on. And man, look, the reality of what we're hearing from these particular groups, you know, like the transgender group or the whole LGBTQ community, is that these people and in their entire population, let's just say in America, right, where we've got 300 billion people, right? No, sorry, 300 million people. That would be India. That less than 1% of our entire population are these people. But we hear so much political agenda and so much news on these types of happenings and what's going on in these communities, these circles, right, that everybody through media feels like it's everybody. Like this is half the United States, or this is the majority of people, and they're demanding a voice. And so they they're smart about what they're doing, right? They're doing this on purpose. Right. Yeah. In fact, we may be attacked one day for our beliefs. In fact, most people are going to eventually. They're not doing it because they want to come to our organization or that they want help or anything. It's just because that's the point of ruining us because of what we stand for.
Yeah,
that's exactly what's happening here.
It's not tolerant on your truth versus my truth, bro. You do you.
Yeah.
Well, why does that affect you? Yeah. And let me finish up here. And then I want you to have closing thoughts, just because this is absurd. It's absurd. And I want to be clear to our audience and to any believer out there, people that think different than you, have different worldviews than you, have different ideologies than you, they have every right, God-given right, to speak on what they think is true. You could disagree. We know biblically that they could be so lost, but they have dignity. Why? Because they are an image bearer. Whether they are a believer or not, they were made in the image of God, right? Mm-hmm. Now, they should be shown grace. Speak truth to them, but show compassion. This isn't a call to be mean to them. We don't reciprocate the same thing. We're not going to try to shut them down because a business that they have, because they are radically different than our. I'm not going to go and try to shut them down. Yeah. That's not the same. It's not reciprocated, right? They will try to shut you down, but we will try to, if you engage, speak truth, but show compassion. Why? Because God made them in his image.
Yeah. I mean, this episode isn't to create hate for certain groups of people or what they're doing. This is just to reveal some absurdities and
that you don't have to buy into.
I want to make a comparison here. Because what you're saying here, it would be the equivalent of somebody that is like comes from some obscure country, right, that speaks a different language than English and comes to this country, right? And then because of that, some others come. And so we're talking about a population that's very small, right? And they would demand that their native language be the language of America, right? That is the comparison that we're making here in these things. And by all means, yeah, we're not asking people to hate these people. We're saying, look, God calls us to love everybody, even in their ignorance, you know, or their lost points of view. And so it should be that we have more prayer about this. We are able to love people even in, you know, the contrast of their beliefs. But at the same time, we have to have discernment. We have to be able to tell ourselves, look, even though I can love these people, and even though I can pray for them, and even though I can see how they're lost in their ways, and I don't have to hate them, but Lord, make it sure to me the paths that you're leading me on, the things that I don't get off derailed off of and follow down some of these and get caught up in it, you know, that I can make clear decisions in my life based on your truth, Lord, and not these things. And we're using an obscurity to talk about things, but really the majority of what we should be talking about is all the things that are in between and to the smallest things that can lead us off our path. I want to finish with this final thoughts. I'm watching a presidential debate the other night, and without mentioning any party, but you can kind of guess because there's only one debate going on. During one of the breaks, there was a commercial, and the commercial was Ron Reagan, who's Ronald Reagan, past president's son, who is advocating for a foundation in this commercial, and the foundation is called Freedom from Religion, which to me, in a sense, is just, it's laughable, you know, because why would you create a foundation where your whole agenda is to have freedom from something that you are already free from? You don't have to choose religion. It's a choice, and people aren't forcing you into it, you know, and you're making a statement, and here's his statement. He says, I'm a lifelong atheist and I'm not afraid to burn in hell. And so even in his statement, his defining identity, a statement is he's already including something that he's fighting from freedom from.
Yeah.
Because why would you even mention hell if you're not specifically talking about Christianity?
Yeah.
And nobody's forcing you, you know, to make a decision on anything concerning religion or a faith of any understanding. And so why would you even form a foundation against it?
Yeah.
What it means, Adam, is that your agenda isn't what you're saying. Your agenda is to ruin others who don't believe in what you believe,
yeah.
Right? And your whole organization is based on freedom from that, but you yourself are engaged in it.
Yeah.
And that's the kind of stuff we're saying. Look, don't be fooled.
Yeah.
Don't get caught up in these things that will even make you angry. It's not even worth being angry about.
Yeah,
it's
just, you shouldn't.
It's just acknowledging that there are a lot of things in this world that we should not adhere to.
Yeah. And I'll close with this. If there's anything that I want, here's the message of this podcast that I want them to hear us say. There is absurd things happening in our nation, and you don't have to fall. You don't have to fall prey to it, victim to it. You don't have to subdue to it. But here's what it also means. And passivity, and man, I went and lectured at Williamson College about absolute truth. I think the fall of the character and the Christian worldview in this nation, a lot of people think this nation's a post-Christian nation. It's very close if it's not. And the reason being is because Christians have failed to engage peak culture in public. And so what I want to encourage you, yes, there is absurdities. You don't have to fall into them. But when you engage in conversation, and you don't have to be upset, as Bruce said. You could you hear them out and you love them where they are, but you speak truth. Here's what I believe.
You're not helping the Christian faith by being angry and retaliating with anger and being an actual bigot, right? Of what they're accusing us to do, because we're called to love people.
Yeah, you know? And I would encourage any Christian or even someone that doesn't believe the way I do, if you want engage people and do not get upset, do not lash out, do not point at them. They are an image bearer of God. But I will challenge you, if there is any believer or non-believer listening to this, go and watch what happens at these when people do engage. And you could, sometimes they're so public, they're on YouTube, but even you challenge yourself, watch someone that's maybe not being recorded. The ones that get angry and try to shut down and oppress someone else's view is not the Christian. It's always someone that does not believe in what they... Now, if it is a Christian, I would say I apologize for them. They are the exception, not the rule. But how much do you see the shutting down of ideas, of speech, of talk, of conversation, of removing the female symbol? You see that as an oppressive act. And guys, you don't have to be afraid of it. God's not surprised by this. And in fact, he says there's a reward if you are persecuted for Christ.
Yeah, I think in clarity, my final thought is this, and just goes on with what you're saying, Adam. is that, look, we don't need to get caught up in this stuff.
Yeah.
And it definitely shouldn't attack your what should be your non-negotiables in your faith, which is, look, I'm not going to become a cultural Christian. I'm not going to change my beliefs based on these things that are happening within our culture just so that I can be accepted by others and that I don't offend people. It's like, man, the Christian faith is offensive.
Yeah.
But it doesn't mean we have to go out and attack people.
Yeah.
It just means that we need to stand firm in what we believe in and don't be derailed by these things that are trying to pull us away from it.
And you don't have to be ashamed of it. You don't have to have fear of it. I mean, could you lose stuff? Yeah, but that's the call of the gospel. Come and die. But you didn't have anything anyway, right? You didn't have anything anyway. Everything that you were turning to of the world is a lie and fake anyway. Mm. So all of this stuff is dwelling. Yeah, you could lose stuff. You could lose friends. You could lose a job. You could lose a business deal. But you didn't have anything anyway. If you're joining with the lie, it's fading. So guys, we encourage you, stand firm, man. A part of this thing that God's called us to is revival, and you've got to be able to not be afraid. If you're going to speak truth, you got to do it and show compassion. We love you. That's Life After Addiction.
Amen.
You better believe it.
Life After Addiction is a production of S2L Recovery. If you have any questions you'd like answered on the podcast, email them to info@springtolife.net. That's info@spring2life.net. And for more information on addiction recovery, visit s2lrecovery.org.
Want to learn more about God and His will for your life one verse at a time? I'm Quenice Petway, co-host of the Your Daily Bible Verse podcast. I'm inviting you to tune in and subscribe at lifeaudio.com.